Republicans have long been staunch supporters of Israel, and in the GOP Congress, that has meant solidarity with the Jewish state. But that could be changing amid the war in Gaza, as the Monitor's Simon Montlake explores today in the second of a two-part series on growing anti-Israel sentiment in both parties. Part one focused on Democrats and how their dramatic shift away from support for Israel could portend future changes in policy. Today, Simon looks at how Republicans under age 50 in particular, the future of the party, are increasingly skeptical of U.S. support for Israel. It's Friday, May 22nd. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning, I'm Linda Feldman. First, our curation of news briefs from writers and wire services. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs. Or on our app. Democrats released their 2024 election report. The Democratic National Committee released a long-awaited internal report analyzing why Kamala Harris lost the 2024 presidential election to Donald Trump after months of delays and mounting accusations of a cover-up. The 192-page report presents hard truths about the state of the party, saying since the 2008 election, Democrats have vacillated between stagnation and retrogression and lost the confidence we once received from everyday Americans. It also accuses the Harris campaign of writing off rural voters and failing to address people's economic concerns, as well as failing to define Ms. Harris as a candidate. A congressional committee is taking aim at cyber scams. It is pressing AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile to strengthen protections. The move comes as Congress intensifies scrutiny of scams that cost Americans an estimated $200 billion in 2024. In letters, lawmakers ask the companies to explain how they monitor scams, collect data, and stop bad actors. Americans get tens of billions of unwanted calls and messages each year, despite mandated caller ID authentication technology. Industry groups say carriers block billions of scam calls and texts annually. Consumer advocates seek stronger measures. Also, a Taiwanese novel won the International Booker Prize. Yang Shuangzi's Taiwan Travelogue became the first ever novel translated from Mandarin to win the prestigious literary award. The novel, a story of two women undertaking a culinary journey in Japanese-occupied Taiwan in 1938, previously won the 2024 National Book Award for Translated Literature. Taiwanese-American translator Lin King told the Booker Prize Foundation that the story delves into the complexities of Japanese colonialism, but with humor and good food. No matter how difficult times are, I believe that humans always manage to find flickers of levity and deep wells of love, she said. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our app for the latest news. Even before the war, Iran's economy was in trouble, fueling massive anti-regime protests that ended in a deadly crackdown. Now, ordinary Iranians are struggling, caught between a failing economy and a regime that's even more determined to crush dissent. Scott Peterson reports from London for The Monitor. On the surface, Republican leaders remain staunchly pro-Israel, but a clear generational shift is emerging as younger conservatives have grown skeptical of U.S. aid to Israel and of Jewish political influence in the U.S. Simon Montlake reports for The Monitor. With the United States under Donald Trump withdrawing from international humanitarian efforts, there would seem to be an opportunity for a middle power like Norway to step into the gap. But just how feasible is that, really? Mark Sappenfield reports from Oslo, Norway for The Monitor. In his new book, Far-Right France, journalist and Financial Times senior editor Victor Mallet examines the far-right's transformation from outside the mainstream to a party garnering the support of 30 to 40% of French voters. Colette Davidson reports for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on a first response to an epidemic, calming fear. Before its annual meeting began Monday, the World Health Assembly was poised to make difficult decisions on a proposed treaty that could reshape the architecture of global health security, as some participants put it. Instead, a big announcement the day before ended up reshaping the discussions at the Assembly, the world's highest-level health policy forum. On May 17th, the World Health Organization, also known as WHO, made an unprecedented declaration about an epidemic of a rare type of the Ebola virus in Central Africa. The WHO added that the regional emergency was of international concern because of the outbreak's scale and speed. As the assembly opened, WHO officials helped shift the discussions by highlighting lessons learned from previous Ebola outbreaks, especially the use of non-medical steps, such as alleviating fear and building up community trust. They praised the caring and courageous efforts of frontline healthcare workers in countries affected by the crisis, Congo and Uganda, saying it was hard to recall a previous response that was so quick and decisive. Ebola is a very serious disease, but it is one that we know how to control, said Mohamed Janabi, WHO's director for Africa, according to UN News. It does not mean people should panic. It means the global system is working as it should be, detecting and responding very decisively. Fear by itself is an outbreak, he added. Officials also noted the importance of a quick response to manage fear. The speed of the response in the first days is essential to interrupt transmission and avoid a wider spread of this epidemic, Dr. Marie-Roseline Belazaire, the WHO Emergency Director for Africa, told UN News. The WHO now also encourages health officials to work with each community, especially religious and traditional leaders, as well as healers. We are not going to come and dictate our science, but rather work with them, Dr. Belazaire said. And the agency has also learned in recent years not to name each outbreak of a disease with a term likely to incite fear. Taking such calming actions has been called fear guarding. As a global report stated, after the 2014 to 2016 Ebola epidemic in West Africa, responding to fear and misinformation will be one of the most critical challenges in handling future pandemics. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how we're able to rise to the goodness that God knows, which brings comfort and healing. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Ian Case, Mackenzie Farkas, and Audrey Thiebert.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, United States of America. Copyright 2026.